it started in here.
And 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Thursday, and this is Justice and Drew. I am Drew. That man over there. I'm setting stage for you. Have at it. Go to town.
That's man.
But I wasn't prepared this morning to say
that's
anything.
All right. Well, then we'll back up. That man over there, who didn't even have to use his AK today. Is John Justice.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he didn't.
Do you usually bring that into work?
I didn't know I owned one.
Surprise!
That woman in there, pushing our buttons and answering your phone calls at 651-995-8855 and hitting all the things.
Just hitting everything!
Hitting the things.
Oh my God,
with her car.
I hope my dad's not listening to this show. I swear.
Let's just say up front, we're both incredibly thankful that you are okay.
Yes, that is the first and foremost main concern. You're fine. Your car is drivable, apparently.
Yep, I got here. So
I'm just real quick. So I'm walking around. I'm getting coffee, right? And I've got my headphones on. I'm jamming my tunes. Yep. And
it's about 5 o'clock.
My notification goes off that somebody had texted, right? And you guys are usually in or out. So I thought, because of a secondary situation, that you had arrived here at the station.
Yes.
And needed some assistance to get into the building.
Yes.
Only to open up the text and find out that was not the case.
No. No. No.
Nope. Nope. The text simply read, "I hit a deer." That's how I heard it in my head.
No,
it was very deadpan. I hit a deer.
Yeah, it's just
matter of fact.
Which is kind of unnerving because you don't know, where are you? I just hit a deer. That's all. And it's like, okay.
I was a little in shock, but I wanted to let somebody know.
Well, sure, but that kind of leaves it open. Like, okay, are we still in the process of this? Has the car come to a stop? I hope. At this point in time?
Yes, it had come to a stop.
All right, so first question is, did the deer jump from the sky, land in front of you, look at you?
You mean like the owl did?
Like the owl did.
No, I don't think so. It just made a just absolute dead sprint across the road right in front of me.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently...
God, deer are stupid.
Apparently, my car is just like everybody. I mean, all the animals just want to commit suicide
via
my car now.
Magnet,
I guess. I don't know. Apparently, I have no idea.
I think this is the revenge of the owl.
It probably is.
Yeah.
I have been seeing owls everywhere. Yesterday, in my biology class, we learned about the genetic diversity and population of owls.
Of course.
Yeah. I was walking around a store, and there's a bunch of t-shirts with owls on them. People keep on talking about owls around me.
Well, yeah, you were asking like all kinds of questions about Harry Potter after the show yesterday, too. And I thought that was really odd because we don't usually talk, Potter.
And now this owl willed this deer.
Now, does reincarnation among animals happen that quickly? I don't know how long that process is.
I don't think so. Why would the owl get revenge on me by going in front of me again?
Maybe we need to back up further. Maybe the owl was actually something else.
Oh, great.
Had you hit something smaller that you weren't aware of, like a squirrel?
No, I don't think so.
So it upgraded to owl?
It's the first time in the last week. So okay. I have never hit anything like that ever. And now in this week, I've hit two creatures.
Two things.
Two of God's creatures.
Hitting all the things with your car.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay out of Sam's way.
My front end is wrecked.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks pretty bad.
SOS.
But that had to be, looking at the photo, it hit really high up on the car. He had to be a pretty big deer.
Well, I think he was in the middle of running, too. It wasn't a very big deer, but it was in the middle of running. So it might have been, like, kind of in the air a little bit.
Yeah, because there's, like, no damage at the bumper area. It's all up on the grill, like, and the light.
Yeah. And my car's not very, like, it's not a tall car.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
How's the deer?
I didn't look. The deer's fault.
But, like, you know, we were talking before the show started, and
kept on going.
I was very frustrated.
Yeah, I would be too.
And the deer actually kept on running, so he can't be hurt that bad.
But I was telling Drew, we got in before you got here. We were talking about it, and I was heading home and was on. What was I on? Was I on 610, I guess? And getting ready to get off. And that's a freeway up high. And there was a deer a big one just splattered across the freeway. And this wasn't like even in a rural area. Yeah. This was like, it was a raised freeway.
They're everywhere. I live in a, you know, in the suburbs. It's not like rural at all. You've been to my house.
Every time I go to your house, I see deer.
There's deer every morning. Yeah. There's deer in my front or backyard, just sort of wandering. I see deer almost every day.
Drew tells me a story once a week of running in his backyard and slamming into one.
Just go out there and do laps.
Yeah, exactly.
And they run out in front of me.
That's right.
My front end is a mess too.
So the light's not working in the front?
Well, so I didn't, because when I got out and checked it, I stopped at the gas station to look at it, and I sent you guys a picture. But then I realized as I was driving, I didn't look at it when my car was on. I don't think that the normal headlight is working there. The brights on that side work, but there's like nothing covering it to like, the light is like super bright.
Right. Yeah. Well, your high beams are on. You probably either burned out one light or it became disconnected because it looks like it's popped out a little bit. Like it, you know, kind of. Popped out of the kind socket of, there.
That's how it sounded.
Yeah, yeah.
I hit a deer.
I promise that's not
that
how
was
it
light.
Sounded. That's definitely not how it sounded. And I'm driving, and like, I was driving to the gas station. I could just hear things falling off the front of my car. I'm like, this is great.
All right, we need some duct tape.
Really yeah.
We're going to get this job.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you're okay, man.
Rough just, morning for Sam.
Yeah, I'm fine. Well, and it's like, I mean, the nice thing is, in those situations, I'm not like one of those people that's like, it swerves. It was in front of me, and I slowed down. But it's better because
it's a wise decision.
Yeah, well, I mean, because there's like the ditches are really deep. It was a country road, right. It was a back country road.
Your safety is more important than the deer's.
Yeah,
you know, your well being is more important than the deer's. We talked about this on the show a while back. Like, if a deer does run out in front of you, obviously the instinct is to brake. But if you brake, slow down, but right before impact, you want to let off the brake so that your car end isn't leaning down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when you brake, your car shifts a little bit. The front end goes down, back end goes up. If your front end is down, it's more likely that the deer is going to topple over into your hood and into your windshield. And that's...
Oh, okay. Because, I was told to gun it. And then hopefully if you're going fast enough, it'll just fly right up and over.
No.
Oh, okay. I don't, I'm just,
somebody you know. Hates you.
Obviously. Well, they were talking about my car. So, you know, a deer jumps out in front of it, it's going to jump the car.
Yeah. So deer's going to emerge unscathed from that action. Yeah.
I'm just happy that it's almost deer opener because there are way too many deer. Yeah.
This is actually...
Come get these deer.
The sound of a deer hitting my car. That's what that is. Glad that you're safe.
Have you had the opportunity to scour the internet this morning?
I have.
Okay, well, that's good. We will bring you Sam's top five that don't involve the slaughter of deer next.
Or will it?
Or it may. In Twin Cities News Talk.
Miss any of...
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew.
Yep.
Along with Sam, who we're very thankful is okay.
She's fine.
She's fine.
And her car, on the other hand.
Yeah. My bank account's not going to be fine.
Okay. You're physically fine. You're emotionally,
emotionally a little rough
right now.
Unstable.
I mean, I went from hitting an owl and days later hitting a deer. And
what if you're just on like this upward trajectory of things to hit?
I know, what's
hit?
Next?
Yeah.
What is next?
What's bigger than a deer?
Bison? There any bison nearby?
Oh, God.
Bear. Bears.
Yeah, I won't be okay after that.
Did you hit a bear?
I can't imagine plowing into a bison. That's a wall.
The bison plows into you.
Yeah, seriously, right? All right, before we get to all the prizes this morning, let's run through some of the guests we have today. David Gartenstein-Ross is going to be joining us just after 7 o'clock. And
I'm looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about this later on in the hour, but we're going to be using David's insight in a slightly different way than we have in the past, and we're really excited about this. This was his idea of something that he wanted to do, and we were game because, you know...
Because we love him.
He's smart. And he makes our show smarter. Just after 8 o'clock, Christina Hoff Summers is going to be coming to town with Intellectual Takeout to talk about the war on men. And Katie Pavlich from Fox News will be joining us just after 8:35. Plus, we have just a ton of prizes, and we can run through just real quick there, Drew.
We have the Tim Hortons contest is still going on. All you got to do is tweet at us, use the hashtag TimHortonsTCNT, all one word, and everybody that used that hashtag, we will do a drawing on Tuesday, and then next Thursday we will deliver Tim Hortons coffee and donuts and Timbits to your office. We're going to Daniel's office after the show today. Really looking forward to that. We have the Grand in Your Hand contest. We're going to do a keyword at the right after 7 o'clock or right after 8 o'clock this morning. You text that keyword to 200-200. You'll be entered into a drawing for a grand. Dead End Hayride VIP tickets to give away. And when Christina Hoff Summers is on, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to that Intellectual Takeout event, which is happening on Monday.
Is today the last day for Dead End Hayride, or do they still have an opportunity tomorrow to win those tickets? Do
That's
we know?
That's a good question.
I'll double check, but I do believe that we have a pair for today and tomorrow.
And again, we're encouraging you to join us tomorrow night. We're going to go. We'll be there at the Dead End Hayride right around 7:30, planning on heading in around 7:45.
You know, we're looking at possibly 1 to 3 inches of snow.
I know this because anytime my son comes within 3 feet, he shoves his phone into my face to show me the Weather Channel app and how excited that he is about this. So I'm looking forward to a snowy, scary hayride tomorrow.
Do you crush his snowy little dreams by telling him that it's not going to stick?
No, I don't. No, I don't. His mom does that for me.
It's not
going to
stick.
His mom is the crusher of dreams.
We're just going to be stuck with slush
in the house.
And it's going to rain next week, so.
Hey, real quick before we get to Sam's Top 5, and we will certainly be getting into this in much more detail later on in the show, but one of the big news items this morning was a question that we had yesterday. This FBI informant in the Obama-era Russian nuclear bribery, whether or not he was going to be cleared to testify before Congress, it turns out that last night he was released. A confidentiality agreement will allow him to testify before Congress about what he witnessed while he was undercover, about that Russian industry efforts to win favorable decisions during the Obama administration.
Yeah, you know, he was under a gag order and would have faced prosecution had he testified.
I'm giddy. I'm
so
excited.
You don't do that unless you're seriously hiding something.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was undercover for a long time,
and,
too.
You know, the left and the Clinton camp and everybody going, this is totally above board. You know, 9 agencies were involved in the approval of this deal, and Hillary Clinton barely had anything to do with it. Well, why did they donate $145 million to the Clinton Foundation?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I wonder if those comments about it being debunked are going to come back and haunt her. All the debunking.
Debunker right now.
It'd be great if the informant, the first thing he says is, first off to Hillary Clinton saying this was debunked, it's not. I'm here to, how would you debunk?
You would de-debunk.
You would de-debunk.
Right. Or you'd bunk it.
Would you unbunk?
No.
Unbunked?
That sounds, I don't know.
I unbunked the debunked.
I'm putting this back in the bunk pile.
Okay. Okay. So it's now bunked again.
Right.
It was debunked.
Rebunked.
Rebunked.
None of these are words. This is not a thing. None of this is a thing.
Rebunked. Oh my favorite are the Matrix movies, by the way.
The Matrix rebunked. Sam has been in there scouring the internet this morning while mourning the front end of her car. Yeah. Compiling the top 5 stories that are floating her boat this morning.
Number 1.
Stephen Paddock removed a hard drive from a laptop found in his Las Vegas hotel room. Investigators who recovered a laptop from Las Vegas gunman Stephen Paddock's hotel room discovered that its hard drive was missing. The laptop was found inside a room at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino, where Paddock stayed prior to killing 58 people and injuring hundreds on October 1st. The hard drive would be a key component to figuring out why Paddock decided to shoot into a crowded music festival down below, which resulted in the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. According to the report, investigators discovered that Paddock had bought software used to erase files from a hard drive.
Hillary Clinton was like, what?
That's a thing?
What, with like a cloth or something?
Just gotta clean it. Get some Windex. Since the hard drive is missing, it remains unclear if he actually used the software at all.
I gotta imagine this hard drive will turn up eventually, right?
There's still so many.
What if he could have thrown it out the window?
This is like the MH370 of like horrible, you know, attacks that take. I mean, because this is one of those ones where there. If you go back to the stories the days after the horrible attack in Las Vegas, you could take all those stories and you could run them all today, and they're still relevant.
Yeah,
we still have no idea.
Not much has changed.
Not much has changed at all. And now this hard drive story is weird to me because there seems to be a component missing. It's like, well, hard drive's missing. Okay, well.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Do you have any leads on where it might be?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure they've completely scoured every possible venue that he could have been at.
Right.
In the days leading up to the shooting, right? I mean, every nook, every cranny. So where did the hard drive end up? I mean, it's a physical, it didn't just disappear.
Right.
It's somewhere.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't seem that, like I said just a minute ago, there's so many things you could have done with it. I mean, if you just ripped it out and threw it out the window, it seems like that takes a lot of, it seems like extra planning to me to actually think of taking out the hard drive, getting rid of it. But
as opposed to just wiping it clean.
Yeah, when he has the software. I'm surprised he has that he knew how to do that.
It's just incredible to me that we still don't have a motive
right.
in this whole thing.
Right.
I know it's not a part of your story, but there was another story that broke yesterday. His brother got arrested on child pornography charges.
Recently?
Yeah. Yes. Yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think in the middle of the investigation, as they were expanding, they were looking into family, and they discovered a whole bunch of images on his computer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Number two.
The Super Bowl committee is super embarrassed for recommending a strip club.
Why? You don't think strip clubs are going to get a lot more business that week?
From the Star Tribune. Well, they probably don't need the recommendations, you know? I mean,
don't say that out loud, because the Minneapolis City Council is going to go and try to levy like larger fines on them, or want to tax the tips more than they already do.
Champagne room tax.
From the Star Tribune, an unintended endorsement of a strip club became an embarrassing moment for the ordinarily buttoned-up Minnesota Super Bowl host committee. King of Diamonds, a gentleman's club in Invergrove Heights.
There are no gentlemen there.
Landed on the list of suggested minority and women-owned contractors in the NFL Business Connect program. Until contacted by Nick Williams, a reporter for the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal, the host committee was unaware that, Claydick Incorporated, a woman-owned business, was behind the strip club. Super Bowl spokeswoman Andrea Macro said, obviously, they should never have been included. Claudec Incorporated.
It's a business. List of suggested minority and women-owned businesses.
It's a women-owned business. So this Super Bowl spokeswoman said Claudec Incorporated was one of more than 1,000 businesses that applied, and it should not have made the list of the 400-plus businesses in our business resource directory. The committee has temporarily removed the directory from its website to thoroughly audit each of the remaining businesses on the list. Now, Deborah Kalsbeck, the owner of the business, told Williams that she hadn't even completed the paperwork for the application to get on the list.
They fast-tracked her.
The Business Connect program is the NFL's Super Bowl and special event supplier diversity program. The goal is for the directory to serve as a conduit for contractors looking to hire vendors during the 10-day event in 2018.
It's
a business.
I could understand their concern, because you don't want to draw, somebody would see it. Right. And then perhaps go and complain about it. So being the NFL host committee, you want to avoid the controversy. But where I think they screwed up here is by removing it now. Like if it were me, I'd be like, it's there, leave it there. If somebody complains, we'll go and address it. But to go and make an issue of it now, it ends up in things like, you know, Sam's Top 5, where it gets a lot more coverage.
Sounds like it was a legitimate mistake.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fine. They shouldn't be embarrassed. It's whatever. It was a mistake. It's not a big deal. These are legitimate businesses that operate, you know, they're not operating in the shadows or anything. It's not that big.
Well, I hear they are dark inside it's really dark.
You hear?
Yeah, I hear, like, well, that's what I've seen in movies.
You know,
like Beverly Hills Cop, you know. They go to a strip club in that movie. It's very dark, from what I remember.
The Sopranos.
Yeah. I never watch The Sopranos.
Oh, I know. You missed out.
I know. That's what I hear.
Number 3.
Suspects are using skimmers on ATMs to steal thousands in Ramsey and Dakota counties. Customers from a Shoreview Credit Union and other financial institutions have had tens of thousands of dollars stolen by criminals who have used skimmers installed on ATMs to collect information and commit fraud. Law enforcement know of at least 2 people who have installed the devices that can be attached to credit card readers to collect and transmit a customer's credit and debit card data to criminals who sell or use the fake cards with the stolen information to gain access to accounts.
There's got to be a way. Obviously, there's not, but there's got to be a way to immediately, like, I want to know immediately how to tell when you go. I mean, is it if
there's a skimmer there?
Yeah. Is it a situation where if you're half paying attention to what you're doing? Because, like, I went the other day to get gas, and it was a gas station I don't go to very often, and I wasn't as familiar with the machine, but I was kind of going through the process and realized that, and I was like, why isn't this working? And I was missing a step. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of doing that, I thought about, because we were talking about it the other day, these skimmers. And I stopped and went, okay, if I'm looking at this right now, would I be able to tell if there's a skimmer on here? And I went, yeah, I think if you look the way it's bolted on, there's got to be a way to identify, and people just aren't paying attention.
Well, yeah, you don't look that closely, you know, and I try to make it a point to look before I slide my credit card into anything, you know, but I've never seen one, so I don't know how sophisticated they are, and I don't know how obtrusive they look to a normal gas station pump or ATM slot.
I just blindly trust everything I put my card into, so.
If anybody,
just like I blindly trust the deer won't run in front of me, and look how well that worked out.
If anybody's had any history or past with this, give us a call, 651-989-5855. I'd be curious if somebody has ended up using one of these and didn't realize and what had happened.
Sheriff's deputies were tipped off to the criminal activity on September 23rd when someone discovered the skimming device. The skimming device was discovered at the City County Credit Union in Shoreview. A surveillance image shows a woman wearing a black dress standing in front of an ATM. Another image shows her with a man inside a red Ford Windstar. Another image from the next day shows the man wearing a skull mask to conceal his identity as he reaches for a machine while sitting in a red minivan.
Yeah, it's a creepy picture, too.
It is. He's wearing, like, a spooky mask.
Yeah.
It is not clear how many of the devices the crooks have planted, but an officer involved said that they were discovered between September 23rd and 29th. Losses have totaled tens of thousands of dollars.
So I know we keep focusing on gas stations, but I know it happens there. But this seems like this happens more often at sort of a walk-up or drive-up ATM machines. That's at least what this is. What this is sounding like. So I would imagine the best thing you can do is just pay attention when you run up to one of these and you look at them. Just give it the once over, and I have to believe that there would have to at least look like there was something off on the machine itself.
Well, I'm looking. I just did a Google image search, and I'm looking at various skimming devices, and
they look pretty legit.
They look fairly legit. I mean, the biggest difference that I can find is, if there's a skimming device attached, there'll be some sort of protrusion, right? It will be set on top of where you would normally, and there'll be something that makes it look like it protrudes a little bit further than it should. But that is a very subtle difference that I don't think most people would even think to look for when they're, you know, using an ATM.
No, I went to a gas station once, and there was a guy there who had one of those little devices on his phone where he could scan a card, and he offered to scan it and fill my tank for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. How'd
that work out?
So was that...
Wow, that's so generous. What a nice
I know,
guy.
That's what I thought at the time, too. So wow. I wonder if he was trying to take advantage.
I wonder.
Maybe.
I'd trust him.
Number 4.
The NAACP is warning African Americans against travel on American Airlines. The NAACP is warning African Americans that if they fly on American Airlines, they could be subject to discrimination or even unsafe conditions. American CEO said yesterday that he was disappointed by the announcement and that American wants to discuss the matter with a civil rights group. The NAACP said that for several months it has watched a pattern of disturbing incidents reported by African American passengers. Among them were separate cases in which a NAACP official and another civil rights activist were kicked off flights. In an interview with the Associated Press, new NAACP President Derek Johnson said that they are not boycotting American Airlines, but the sheer numbers of events made them feel like they had to issue a warning. He said, "We're not telling people to not fly on American. We're just saying to individuals that there is here is an advisory note. We have picked up on a pattern of certain behavior of this corporation until further notice. Be on alert." Well, that is from the Pioneer Press.
Well, and obviously, if anybody is treated inappropriately, it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be handled. There is absolutely there's no disagreement over that. What is missing here, and what I think would need to be added, would be the context of complaints that are made to the airlines,
right?
And how often is this happening in cases where the NAACP would not get involved?
Not saying I don't trust the NAACP,
but there is something to say that they're making this a race issue when this could be a larger sort of issue of American Airlines and the way that they treat their passengers as a whole.
Or it could be a handful of unrelated, isolated, coincidental incidents.
Yeah.
That happened to involve African Americans. So now they're assuming that there's some sort of systemic racism within the company.
The better context would probably be when you go and look at the number of people that fly on a daily basis compared to what's happening here. Each circumstance needs to be investigated, obviously.
Yeah, individually.
But, yeah.
Right.
Number five.
Trump says classified files on JFK's assassination will be released today. President Trump...
This is interesting.
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting.
President Trump announced on Twitter that the classified files on the assassination of former President John F. Kennedy will finally be released today. He tweeted, "The long-anticipated release of the hashtag JFK files will take place tomorrow. So interesting."
So interesting.
He's the best. So interesting.
Trump, I love you, but why? Why?
Because it's going to be interesting, Sam.
I mean, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. He's stating fact. It will be interesting. Trump arrived yesterday afternoon in Dallas, where he received a briefing on Hurricane Harvey recovery efforts. The move to release classified files could shed light on a tragedy that has stirred conspiracy theories for decades. The National Archives has until October 26th to disclose the remaining thousands of never-seen government documents on the 1963 assassination. That is, of course, today. It's unlikely the documents are going to contain any really big revelations about Kennedy's killing. That's according to Judge John Tunheim, who was chairman of the independent agency in the 1990s that made public many assassination records and decided how long others could remain secret.
I hope that this, whatever's in these files sort of tamps down. It won't, because conspiracy theorists are going to be conspiracy theorists. If they cannot find confirmation of their particular conspiracy theory in these files, then they will just assume that, well, they're still out there and those haven't been released yet. But I would hope that this would tamp down most of the more ridiculous conspiracy theories around the assassination.
If you're waiting for the information to be released to confirm that your conspiracy was correct, you're going to be sadly disappointed. The biggest thing that we'll probably get out of this from what I've read is we're probably going to get a lot more information on Harvey Oswald. Mm-hmm. That's going to lend to the reason why he was the one who they say, right, did this and not some other grand conspiracy. Apparently there's details about a trip to Mexico that took place before the killing. He visited Soviet and Cuban embassies. My expectation, if there's anything really worthwhile, it's going to be that. It's going to be sort of the much larger story of why Oswald did it. And oddly, when you consider the Soviets in this, are we going to have another Russian revelation on top of everything else that's going on? I mean, that's just what a time to be doing a show.
I'm looking forward to reading these reports that come out later today. Well done, Sam.
Thank you. Thank you.
Stellar top five under tough circumstances.
Under duress.
Thank you.
Under duress.
Speaking of Russian and Russia, we will get to the FBI informant in the Obama era, Russian bribery, cleared to testify before Congress. Some details on that. Trump did rail against the fake dossier after the Clinton revelation. And we'll spend some time talking about an idea that Amazon has, where they want the ability to open up your door and drop off their package that you purchased inside your home.
Yeah, they just want to come on in.
Yeah.
Hang out for a bit.
Yeah, just open up. Just pop. Okay, hey, thanks. You know, come in. Take a seat. Let me have a nap.
Justice in.
David Gartensteiner-Ross, a counterterrorism expert and...
all around just a really smart dude.
Pundit? He's going to be joining us just after 7 o'clock, where we talk a lot of Russia, talk a lot of meddling, talk a lot of bribes,
FBI informants.
Yeah, may talk a little Niger because we haven't gotten into that whole situation. Oh, and then there was a story that you retweeted today about some attacks that were taking place in Iraq. Is that war breaking out?
Forces backed by Iran attacked some Kurdish militia. Last night, it's kind of broke this morning. See if David knows anything about that.
I'm sure he does.
Because that's not cool.
No, shouldn't do that.
The rest of the world's going crazy. Can you guys just chill for a little while?
Seriously.
You know, just... yeah. We don't need problems everywhere.
No, we don't. And Sam, you should Uber everywhere from now on.
Probably a good idea. Be cheaper than all these bills to fix my car.
We were, we're glad you're okay, but Sam, unfortunately, I had smacked into a deer on the drive-in this morning. If you want to see,
smacked into me.
If you want to see a picture of it, it's up on Twitter.
Like, my car is trash.
It looks angry.
It's trash.
It looks mad.
Can you really blame it?
Nope, cannot. we were talking in your top five, Sam, about the concern over the ATM skimmers.
John from Plymouth. Good morning.
Morning. How are you guys?
Excellent.
And lady.
You have thoughts on the ATM skimmers?
Yeah, the ATM skimmers, you can, on the gas pumps, you will not be able to tell that they're on there. What they do is they open up the door panel to the top part of the gas pump, and they insert what they call a Bluetooth skimmer. They connect it to the back side of the reader.
Oh.
So you cannot tell that there's a skimmer on there.
There's no external indication?
No, there's nothing external. There are some skimmers that they can place on there over the where you put your card swipe in, but the most common and most frequent that law enforcement's finding is they find a way to open up the gas pump, and then they insert this Bluetooth skimmer. It's like a ribbon with a device that can pick up all the information off your credit card. And then they can later go to the gas station, sit, park, and download the information off of onto their phone, and then they can transmit it, sell it, whatever they want to do with the information.
So what can the average consumer do to protect themselves?
Pay inside.
That doesn't sound like much.
Well, this is what I do, and I'm traveling up to Duluth today, and when I look for a gas station that's well-known, generally speaking, you try to go to the closest pump to where the gas station attendant can watch their pumps.
Huh.
Stay away from the pumps that are on the corners and can't be easily seen. And then also, you should use your credit card versus your debit card, because you're better protected that way on fraud issues.
True.
And there's not much you can do. But the Minnesota Commerce Department, I'll give them kudos, because their weights and measured guys that go out and fill up the gas cans, they will check for these skimmers. They're trained on looking for them, and they found them. And they've been working with law enforcement to catch these individuals at the gas pumps. Now, on the thing about the ATM machines, yes, you can grab physically, and they're typically the green ATM card readers. It's a round circular where you put your card in. That's the most popular skimmer. It's green and round, and you slide your card through. They got a overlay that they just basically place over the ATM reader, and it looks just like the normal piece of equipment.
Yeah, the ATMs that I most frequently use have those green covers on them.
Yeah,
that's nerve-wracking.
pull them. And the other thing is, try to look at the keypad to see if it can be lifted. Sometimes I'll put an overlay on the keypad rather than put a camera up above, a pinhole camera.
Okay.
So those are the two most common ways. So what you can do at the banks and credit unions, what I would do is use an inside ATM in a vestibule. They're more closely watched and supervised. We've recommended our association, Financial and Retailers Protection Association, recommends banks on a daily basis check morning, afternoon, and into the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock hour.
How well are banks complying to that recommendation in your experience?
They have gotten much better. I can't tell you it's 100%. It's not. It's staffing related and education too, because a lot of these employees have to be trained on what to look for.
Yeah,
this equipment's getting more and more sophisticated, and they're trying to attack these ATM machines in different ways. So,
and it wouldn't be in the bank's best interest to have, you know, somebody get scammed off of one of them. I imagine that they understand that, you know, customer service is number one, so they better stay on top of it.
Thanks for your call, John. Really appreciate it.
Got a couple other suggestions, right? Okay, one, you could buy a diesel car. Because hardly anybody, no one's going to put a skimmer on a, you know, diesel pump. And then, or you could pay inside and then just fill up a big gas. You can be a big gas can, just keep the gas in your trunk. And then you just fill it up whatever you need it to. You know, it's just maybe just do it like once a month, you know?
Well, using credit card as
those are both
to
bad ideas,
is,
by the way.
Is solid advice, and I've heard that advice for a long time. You know, whenever possible, use credit cards, not debit cards. Fraud protection is you've got sort of an extra layer of fraud protection with your credit cards, and then just pay off your credit cards each month. That's the sort of habit we've gotten into.
A number of different places reporting this morning. This particular coverage of the story comes out of the Pioneer Press. Online retailer Amazon said that it will launch a service next month called Amazon Key that would allow delivery people to walk into your home and drop off a box when you're not there.
No. Mm-mm. No.
Minneapolis and St. Paul is one of the metro areas that it will serve. So, it goes like this.
No!
If you want to use the service, you have to be an Amazon Prime member.
Okay.
You would have to buy a camera and Wi-Fi connected lock from a Seattle-based company that starts at $250.
Okay.
Shoppers will then be able to select the in-home delivery on the Amazon app. So the person shows up, they knock on the door first, nobody answers, they scan the package, and Amazon will make sure the delivery person is at the right home, unlock the door, no keys are needed for the indoor camera, and it will record the in-home delivery. So that's what the camera's for.
Yeah, yeah. There are some, when you just saw the headline, right, and you just saw like Amazon Key, they'll just walk into your home.
Mail them a key.
And drop the package off. It's like, no. But they actually do. I'm impressed with how much thought went into this,
right?
And the layers of protection that are there. It is Wi-Fi, so I mean, there's always that hacking concern, right? But the fact that you know it comes with, you have to have the camera, and it will record, you know, every drop off. That to me, that would make, I'm still not interested in
sure.
this service, at least at this time,
right?
But that would make me feel much more secure knowing that, all right, there's a camera that's going to be triggered and it's going to be on. It's going to record when these drop-offs happen.
The experts say they imagine that millennials will be the ones to buy into it before older folks like us, because they are more trusting of current technology.
I would say millennials and those that live in like apartment buildings,
sure.
condos, where you've got a real high density of people all sort of in one small area.
Here's my prediction. And a free business idea that I almost don't want to give out. But here's my prediction. I'm going to say within 10 years, every new home will be built with an additional front-facing climate-controlled storage unit that will be there. Because they're not the only Amazon's not doing, Walmart's doing this too.
Yeah.
That every single home will have a front-facing storage unit built into their home, climate controlled for these deliveries.
Where
this is
can be dropped off.
This is yeah. where this is all heading. Like if I were in construction, I'd be like right now coming up with the parameters
yep.
of what zoning rules that I can do to start selling these, right. because this is going to be
Here's
the future.
Your drop off vestibule.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, think about. I mean, anything. If you have that, if you take away the concern over having someone go into your home, You got a big enough space, climate controlled for food and things like that, mm-hmm. where anybody can go and drop off an item. You don't have to be there or worry about it, and it's all secure. Yeah. That's where it's all going.
Yeah, no, that's a really smart idea. That makes a lot of sense because package theft is a real problem. I mean, it's I've not had it happen to me, but I've sat and watched, you know, a package get dropped off across the street or one of my neighbor's houses and just watched it sit there for hours and hours and hours. And
yeah.
Like, and I feel like, should I go get it just to keep it secure? But I always feel awkward about that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's going to be, I bet you anything, it'll be built, it'll be in the construction of the home. They'll build a, you know, some sort of addition or into the current structure. So yeah. It's not really as visible. That's probably the more likely thing, where it wouldn't be a box, but it'd be a space like maybe that it goes underneath where this will be your home delivery security,
yeah.
you know, depository or whatever.
Right.
You know?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's a good idea. And we should, yeah, it's free.
You know what? Let's, Sam, edit that out.
Yeah, hit the dump. How long is it?
I don't think you know how radio works.
Edit that part.
Edit that part out.
We're gonna keep that idea.
And then we gotta get like a patent. Oh, I'm sorry. We got a patent pending.
TM.
We TM'd it.
We just TM'd it.
We've got a patent on it already.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
If you do it, you got to send us all the money.
Still not how this works.
You can't just say patent pending.
You're not a lawyer.
Yeah. What do you know?
You know, you're right, Drew. You're right.
Don't you
but
want...
I'm pretty sure that our lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien would agree with me.
We're not going to give you any of our sweet, sweet free cash.
From this idea. We have no idea how to execute.
But we...
Because neither of us know anything about construction.
Patent pending.
TM.
That's right.
All right.
It's ours now.
David Gartenstein Ross joining us next.
Broadcasting on AM 1130.